Welcome, and thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants are in listen-only mode. Today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. Now, I will turn the meeting over to your host, Gladys Dottrell. You may begin.
Good morning. I hereby call to order this fifth meeting of the Pennsylvania Public Utility Commission for the year 2021. It's been a year since COVID-19 has changed how we live and work, and we ask everyone to continue to take steps to stay safe and healthy. At this time, I'd like to take a roll call of my fellow commissioners who are joining us on this call for our public meeting. Commissioner Ralph Unora.
Present.
Commissioner John Coleman.
Present.
Vice Chairman David Sweet.
Present.
Thank you. We have a quorum present. At today's meeting, which is open to the public, the commission will act on various matters. There's no opportunity for the public to address the commission at these public meetings. We appreciate your patience as we continue to work together in these unique circumstances presented by the pandemic. The PUC office buildings remain closed. However, the commission is fully operational with personnel working remotely. The public meeting motions, statements, and audio also will be available on the commission's COVID-19 webpage later today. Going to the first matter on this morning's agenda, it is the approval of the minutes for the meeting of February 25th, 2021, and I will turn to Vice Chairman Sweet, who is the editor.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I've reviewed the minutes of the public meeting of February 25th, 2021, and move that they be approved as submitted. Thank you.
You have heard the motion of Vice Chairman Sweet for the approval of the minutes. Is there a second?
Unora, second.
Second by Commissioner Unora. Any discussion or further edits? Hearing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? The motion passes 4-0. At this time, I will turn it over to the Secretary of the Commission, Rosemary Chiavetta, who will lead us through this morning's agenda.
Morning, Madam Chairman. Good morning, Commissioners. Your various bureaus and offices have prepared the following agenda for your consideration. Therefore, let us begin on page one with matters presented by Director Sophie and the Office of Special Assistance. It is recommended that the Commission adopt in an omnibus motion the single item on page one, the Bureau of Investigation and Enforcement's informal investigation of Reliant Energy Northeast LLC, and continue and end the omnibus on page two with the formal complaint of Renee Yanko versus the Pennsylvania American Water Company.
Is there a motion to adopt the staff recommendations?
Sweet, so moved.
Is there a second?
Coleman, second.
Motion by Vice Chairman Sweet, second by Commissioner Coleman. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? The motion passes 4-0.
Continuing on page two, it is recommended that the Commission adopt the proposed opinion and order in the application of Aqua Pennsylvania Wastewater to acquire the Delaware County Regional Water Quality Control Authority.
Is there a motion to adopt staff recommendation?
Coleman, so moved.
Is there a second?
Unora, second.
Motion by Commissioner Coleman, second by Commissioner Unora. Any discussion?
Madam Chair, I have a motion on this matter.
Vice Chairman Sweet.
Thank you. Before the Commission is the recommended decision of Administrative Law Judges Angela T. Jones and F. Joseph Brady, herein ALJs, issued on January 12, 2021, which recommends denying the application and the exceptions filed by Aqua Pennsylvania Wastewater, the Delaware County Regional Water Quality Authority, Sunoco Partners, Marketing and Terminals, LP, Energy Transfer, as well as replies to the exceptions filed by the Commission's Bureau of Investigation and Enforcement, the Office of Consumer Advocate, and the Office of Small Business Advocate, and the County of Delaware. Since the issuance of the recommended decision, additional filings have been submitted at this docket. All parties may not have had adequate opportunities to review and respond to them. There is also still outstanding litigation, which may need to be taken into consideration when evaluating this application. On March 10, 2021, counsel for ACWA filed a letter by which it voluntarily waived the statutory deadline in this matter. Accordingly, it is not necessary to rule on the exceptions at this time. ACWA's action allows the Commission to reopen the record and to remand the matter to the Office of Administrative Law Judges for such further proceedings as may be appropriate in light of the new developments in this case. I find it is in the public interest to reopen the record as provided for in our regulations. Therefore, I move that the record in this matter is reopened and the case remanded to the Office of Administrative Law Judge for such further proceedings as may be appropriate. And secondly, that the Office of Special Assistance prepare an order consistent with this motion. Thank you.
You have heard the motion by Vice Chairman Sweet. Is there a second?
Unora, second.
Second by Commissioner Unora. Any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes 4-0. Mm. Moving to the matter as amended by Vice Chairman Sweet's motion, is there any objection to going to the previous roll call? Hearing no objections, the matter as amended passes 4-0.
Turning to page 3, it is recommended in an omnibus motion that the Commission adopt both items on page 3, beginning with the petition of the Duquesne Light Company's Phase 4 Energy Efficiency and Conservation Plan, and to include and end the omnibus with the petition of the PECO Energy Company's Phase 4 Energy Efficiency and Conservation Plan.
Is there a motion to adopt the staff recommendation?
Sweet, so moved.
Is there a second?
Unora, second.
Second by Commissioner Unora. Any discussion?
Madam Chair, Vice Chairman Sweet here. You and I have a joint statement. Oh, thank you, Madam Chair. Sorry to be abrupt. You and I have a joint statement on these two plus another item on the agenda, which comes later. And I think it's most appropriate that the statement is drafted in sort of an omnibus way to address all of these various matters. And so I would ask to later be recognized at the end of this process to make that statement, but will not offer it at this time.
Thank you, Vice Chairman Sweet. Any further discussion or statements? Hearing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? The motion passes 4-0.
Turning to page 4 and matters presented by Director Diskin and the Bureau of Technical Utility Services, it is recommended that the Commission adopt in an omnibus motion both items on page 4, beginning with the joint application of Pennsylvania American Wastewater and the Regent Sewer Company, and continuing the omnibus on page 5 to include the first two items on page 5, ending the omnibus with the Price Stability Index and Service Price Index Report filed by the Ironton Telephone Company.
Is there a motion to adopt the staff recommendations?
Coleman, so moved.
Sweet, so moved.
I heard Commissioner Coleman move. Vice Chairman Sweet, do you want a second?
Yes.
Second by Vice Chairman Sweet. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? The motion passes 4-0.
Continuing on page 5, it is recommended that the Commission adopt the proposed order regarding the tariff of the Hamilton Relay Service.
Is there a motion to adopt staff recommendation?
In order, so moved.
Is there a second? I will second.
Sweet second.
Okay.
I yield you, Madam Chair.
Okay. Motion by Commissioner Yanora, second by Chairman Dutrell. Any discussion?
Madam Chair, Commissioner Coleman and I have a joint motion on this matter.
Vice Chairman Sweet.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I'm going to read a short version of our motion. Would ask that the entire motion be placed under the record as though I had read it in its entirety. Before us for disposition is a tariff filing of the telecommunications relay service provider, Hamilton Relay, proposing to increase by approximately 25% the price per session minute of use that Hamilton charges the TRS fund for traditional speech-to-speech TRS in Pennsylvania. The current specific tariff rate Hamilton charges in Pennsylvania is proprietary and confidential, as are the specific rates Hamilton and other TRS providers in the country charge in each jurisdiction. Also claimed to be confidential and proprietary across the industry are underlying revenue and expense information. TRS is a mandatory service. AT&T was the TRS provider in Pennsylvania from the program's inception in 1990 until 2014, when the Commission issued a request for proposals and, receiving only one bid, approved Hamilton as our current provider. Under the terms of the 2014 RFP, Hamilton was obliged to provide service for a period of 5 years with the further opportunity for 2-year extensions. Hamilton was also bound to apply the fixed rate in its bid for the initial 3 years, with subsequent opportunities to request rate changes. Hamilton's fixed TRS rate has now been in effect for 6 years since it commenced providing TRS in 2015. In the current filing, Hamilton affirms that the proposed price change will remain valid through December 2022. There's no doubt that Hamilton provides a valuable TRS service to the hearing and speech impaired public and to everyone who communicates with those who need the equivalent telecommunications access that TRS provides. There also is no doubt that the provisions of actual state-specific operational cost and revenue data from our certificated TRS providers for pricing purposes in Pennsylvania historically has proven to be a very difficult process. Since our commencement of TRS service 31 years ago, we have entertained 3 provider-initiated rate changes. In each of those cases, we had difficulty assessing the proposed rate based on the lack of state-specific information because of how TRS is priced by the very few providers that offer this service across the country. Given the unique pricing and other circumstances that involve the provision of TRS service in Pennsylvania, our acceptance of Hamilton's 2014 bid, our review of the circumstances and the information that Hamilton provided in support of the pending supplement, and the totality of circumstances surrounding the provision of intrastate TRS general, we believe the TRS rate increase proposed by Hamilton in its January 29, 2021 filing should be allowed to become effective April 1, 2021 as filed. Investigation and analysis of this proposed tariff supplement and the supporting data and information indicates that the proposed tariff supplement does not appear to be unlawful, unjust, unreasonable, or contrary to public interest, and suspension or further investigation does not appear to be warranted at this time. Therefore, we move that, one, the commission staff recommendation of this docket number be rejected consistent with this motion, and secondly, the Bureau of Technical Utility Services prepare an opinion and order consistent with this motion. Thank you.
You have heard the motion, the joint motion of Vice Chairman Sweet and Commissioner Coleman. Is there a second? I will second that motion. Any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion passes 4-0. On the matter as amended, is there any objection to taking a previous roll call? Hearing no objection, the matter as amended passes 4-0.
Turning to page 6, it is recommended that the Commission adopt the proposed order in the rate supplement filed by the Reynolds Water Company.
Is there a motion to adopt staff recommendation?
Yanora, so moved.
I heard Commissioner Yanora first. Vice Chairman Sweet, do you want a second?
Yes, thank you.
Motion by Commissioner Yanora, second by Vice Chairman Sweet. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion passes 4-0.
Turning to page 7, it is recommended by Chief Counsel Hicks and the Law Bureau that the Commission adopt the proposed order in the petition of the Duquesne Light Company.
Is there a motion to adopt the staff recommendation?
Coleman, so moved.
Is there a second?
Sweet, second.
Motion by Commissioner Coleman, second by Vice Chairman Sweet. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? The motion passes 4-0.
Madam Chairman, that concludes the regular agenda. Turning to the carry-in agenda, on page 1 of the carry-in, it is recommended in an omnibus motion that the Commission adopt the recommendation of the Office of Special Assistance regarding the joint petition of the First Energy Companies, Act 129, Phase 4, Joint Energy Efficiency and Conservation Plans, and continue the omnibus on page 2 of the carry-in to also include the recommendation of the Office of Special Assistance to adopt the petition of PPL Electric Utilities and its Act 129, Phase 4, Energy Efficiency and Conservation Plan.
Is there a motion to adopt the staff recommendations?
Sweet, so moved.
Is there a second?
Yanora, second.
Motion by Vice Chairman Sweet, second by Commissioner Yanora. Any discussion?
Madam Chair, this is perhaps the appropriate time for me to enter into the record our joint statement.
Vice Chairman Sweet.
Thank you. Before us for consideration today are the Act 129 Phase 4 Energy Efficiency and Conservation Plans, hereinafter EE&C, of the 7 large electric distribution companies, CDCs. We want to thank the utilities and stakeholders for coming to agreement on all issues in 3 of the proceedings and the majority of the issues in the 4th. We recognize the time and effort involved in the creation of these programs and appreciate the stakeholders' work in developing consensus. To that point, we want to highlight a few areas of the programs that we believe will be very beneficial to customers. Each of the programs is uniquely tailored to best fund and achieve energy efficiency and conservation measures, consistent with the Commission's directives in our final implementation order. As such, each program meets or exceeds minimum energy efficiency targets, meets or exceeds minimum peak demand reduction targets, includes comprehensive measures for each customer class, provides targeted low-income program investment and ultimately achieves a total resource cost test result in excess of 1.0. For such reasons, each of the Act 129 programs in front of us today warrants approval. We wish to take the time to highlight some of the advancements in these Phase 4 plans, with a specific focus on the low-income programs being deliberated today. In the Duquesne proceeding, stakeholders agreed that funds for low-income programs should be rearranged to focus more on appliances, space cooling and heating, and building shell measures. Additionally, Duquesne will work to track data on these projects and will work with stakeholders to increase coordination with community-based organizations. Many of our programs targeted to low-income customers have shown that HVAC issues are prevalent and may hinder customers' ability to conserve energy and reduce bills. Additionally, these can lead to safety issues, such as overuse of hazardous space heating measures. By providing a greater focus on heating and cooling, we believe Duquesne's program will help to address some of these concerns, and with the help of CDOs, can provide more targeted outreach to those in need. Similarly, in the first energy proceeding, stakeholders have agreed to programmatic changes similar to those referenced for Duquesne, primarily a refocusing of low-income program budgets on HVAC, building shell and water heating measures instead of behavioral and small savings initiatives. First Energy will also provide installation of up to 75 heat pump water heaters and/or ductless mini-split heat pumps annually to the low-income sector at no upfront cost to the customer. Again, we believe these changes will support safety and energy conservation in residences with the most dire need. Further, these changes may support a customer's application for additional benefits through other utility programs like the Low-Income Usage Reduction Program, LIHR. In a similar vein, PECO and its stakeholders have agreed to an approximately $500,000 health and safety pilot program to assess whether addressing health and safety barriers in income-eligible homes would allow PECO to provide increased efficiency measures. PECO has also agreed to spend up to a total of $1.5 million on residential and non-residential pilot programs regarding the use of various incentives to pursue more comprehensive measures and projects that span multiple end uses. By pursuing these pilot programs through the research and development provisions of Act 129, PECO will be able to work with stakeholders to develop initiatives that address multiple issues at once, creating more all-encompassing programs as the Act 129 requirements continue onward. We believe both residential and non-residential customers will be more interested in and open to programs that help address several concerns at one time, limiting both the outlay of money directly by those customers and potentially limiting the need for multiple visits to a residence or business to address those issues. Many residential customers may not be able to take off work for a series of contractor visits, and similarly, many commercial and industrial facilities cannot shut down or limit work activities to allow for measure installation. As such, the development of comprehensive programs may be much more efficient for all involved. Lastly, we highlight some areas of consensus found by PP&L and its stakeholders. PP&L, like the other utilities, has refocused some of its programming to address HVAC and building shell measures. Up to $2 million in funding is dedicated to space heating, building shell measures, water heater maintenance, repair and replacement, and appliance replacement and recycling. Like PECO, PP&L will perform a low-income health and safety pilot to remediate hazards that prevent low-income customers from receiving comprehensive energy efficiency measures. The program will allocate between $400,000 and $750,000 over the five-year phase, and will prioritize high-usage customers. As discussed throughout the state, we believe these measures will help address significant issues in the residential and especially low-income sector. We thank the stakeholders for continuing each Act 129 E, E, and C phase with a vision of developing programs that continue to expand and evolve and do not focus on simple quick savings measures. By working together, the utilities and stakeholders have determined areas that help focus program dollars on what customers both want and need. This allows for an E and C program that continues to provide cost-effective benefits to electric ratepayers across a vast majority of this Commonwealth. And thank you, and I would note again that this is a joint statement from Chairman Dutrell and myself.
Thank you very much, Vice Chairman Sweet. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? The motion passes 4-0.
Turning to page 3 of the carry-in, it is recommended by the Law Bureau that the Commission adopt the proposed order in the petitions of UGI Utilities Gas and Electric Divisions to implement their COVID-19 emergency relief program.
Is there a motion to adopt staff recommendation?
Sweet, so moved.
Is there a second? I will second. Any discussion on this matter? I do have a statement, and I ask my statement to be placed into the record in its entirety. Before the Commission for consideration and disposition are the petitions filed by UGI Utilities on behalf of its gas and electric divisions requesting approval to establish a second phase of the emergency relief program previously implemented for UGI's gas division in the settlement of UGI's gas rate case approved by the Commission on October 8, 2020. Phase 1 of the ERP, among other things, provided arrearage forgiveness to gas customers that accumulated overdue balances between the March and December 2020 billing cycles as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic. The arrearage credit was limited to 25% of arrearages accumulated during the aforementioned period, up to a maximum of $400. Customers could also enter into an extended payment arrangement for the remaining arrearage. The settlement permitted the company to track and record as a regulatory asset bill credits provided under the ERP. The settlement provided that the ERP cost would be eligible for recovery in the company's next rate case. The parties to the rate case settlement reserved their rights to challenge the prudence and reasonableness of those claimed costs in the next filed rate proceeding. Phase 1 of the ERP closed on December 31, 2020. The instant petitions of UGI's COVID-19 ERP Phase 2 would include, among other things, the following benefits for both gas and electric customers at or below 300% of the federal poverty income guideline that enroll in the ERP through April 30, 2021. That includes expanding eligibility for hardship funds up to 250% of the federal poverty income guideline through December 31, 2021, to the extent funds are available. Increasing the maximum hardship fund grant amount from $400 to $600 through December 31, 2021, to the extent funds are available. Accepting self-verification of income for customer assistance program eligibility and cap payment determinations. Suspending CAP recertification requirements through April 30, 2021, adjusting its low-income usage reduction program thresholds and job cost limitations to cover personal protective equipment costs for the duration of the program year, suspension of collection efforts for any amounts due for service beginning with the March 2020 billing cycle and continuing through April 30th, 2020. Eligible customers that have accumulated arrears during the applicable period will be given a one-time bill credit of up to $400. Eligible customers that have not accumulated any arrears during the applicable period will be given a one-time bill credit of up to $200. The total direct bill credits provided as part of COVID-19 ERP Phase 2 for customers without arrears should be capped at $1 million for UGI Gas and $100,000 for UGI Electric and be provided on a first-come, first-served basis. The Bureau of Investigation and Enforcement is supportive of Phase 2 of the ERP, but objects to extending the bill credit to customers without accumulated arrears. UGI stated that throughout Phase 1 of the COVID-19 ERP, the company found that many customers impacted by the COVID-19 pandemic nonetheless prioritized and continue to pay their utility bills despite experiencing general financial payment difficulties, although these customers would otherwise qualify for relief and benefits set forth in the COVID-19 ERP as they were not in arrears. They were not eligible to participate in the Phase 1 COVID-19 ERP. To provide these customers with some measure of relief, UGI removed the arrearage requirement for the new phase of the program. We are persuaded by UGI's statement that there are customers who have managed to pay their bills who nonetheless are struggling. We also note that UGI has capped the amount of funds that are available to this subset of customers to $100,000 for the electric company and $1 million for the much larger gas company. Furthermore, we agree with both the Office of Consumer Advocate and BINE's position, similar to Phase 1, that ERP bill credits must be tracked and recorded as a regulatory asset and can be challenged for prudence and reasonableness in the company's next rate filings. We note that in the moratorium docket, utilities urged the Commission to lift the moratorium, arguing that the utilities knew their customers and could craft relief programs best suited to assist the prevailing conditions of the respective service territories. UGI, in making the incident request, appears to have done just that. We previously commended UGI for working to ensure reasonable access to service to protect public health during these extraordinary times, and we once again extend that commendation. And I think I forgot to mention in the beginning that this was a joint statement with myself and Vice Chairman Sweet. Are there any other comments or statements?
Chairman, this is Commissioner Coleman. I do have a joint statement with Commissioner Yanora on this matter.
Commissioner Coleman.
Thank you. We'd ask our joint statement be entered into the record as though we have read it in its entirety. Before the Commission are two separate petitions by the UGI Gas and Electric Division seeking approval of temporary modifications to its universal service program and for the provision of bill credit for some of its gas and electric customers. UGI also asked that the Commission grant certain accounting treatment to enable future cost recovery for these proposals. Answers to these petitions were filed by the Office of Consumer Advocate and the Commission's Bureau of Investigation and Enforcement. The Commission previously addressed versions of these proposals in the settlement of UGI Gas' most recent base rate case. At that time, the Commission approved temporary modifications to its universal service programs to allow and allowed for a one-time bill credit for some customers with arrearages. Those provisions were part of a global settlement that was recommended for approval by the presiding ALJ and to which no exceptions were filed. The Commission acted to approve that settlement on October 8, 2020. The bill credit program later expired on December 31, 2020. UGI now asks the Commission to approve the same temporary modifications to its universal service program for both gas and electric divisions through the end of 2021. These modifications include, among other elements, expanding eligibility for hardship funds and increasing the maximum hardship grant from $400 to $600 to the extent funds are available. These requested modifications are unopposed and we find that UGI has met its burden of proof on these items. Accordingly, we would support the approval of these modifications through the end of 2021. However, we must conclude that UGI has not carried its burden of proof in its request to reopen its bill credit program for its gas division and to establish a new bill credit program for its electric division. UGI seeks approval of a one-time credit of between $200 and $400 for customers with arrearages. UGI proposes no budget or other cost containment provisions for this program. It also seeks approval of a one-time credit of up to $200 for gas and electric customers without arrearages. UGI proposes a cap of $1 million on the gas and bill credit program for customers for those customers without arrearages and a cap of $100,000 for electric bill credit program for those customers without arrearages. This program would be available on a first-come, first-served basis. In its answer, BIE expressed opposition to the bill credit program for those customers without arrearages. It asked that the investigation be undertaken to determine whether, number one, the program is just and reasonable, and number two, the program is consistent with the Public Utility Code, our regulations, the orders of this commission, and any other applicable laws of Pennsylvania. We have the same questions raised by BIE in its answer, and we share the concerns identified in the proposed order for our disposition today. UGI has not provided enrollment projections or proposed budget for the bill credit programs. UGI also has not provided any cost data or enrollment numbers for the first phase of the bill credit program. Further, UGI did not provide a customer needs assessment that would justify the amount of the bill credit for each program. It is unfortunate that UGI did not respond to BIE's answer or provide additional data for us to evaluate. While the Commission has encouraged and has been receptive to well-crafted COVID assistance programs, public utilities have a burden of proof in showing that the proposals are lawful and reasonable. The Commission declined to grant approval on two prior occasions for COVID assistance programs where the standard of proof was not met, including a program involving customer bill credits. In closing, we remind our utilities that the cost of these programs may be shared by all residential customers, whether they benefit or not. The Commission has the obligation to consider and balance the needs and interests of all customer groups. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Coleman. I assume there's no further comments, but I will ask any further discussion. Hearing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Excuse me, Chairman. I'm voting no on this motion.
Okay. I was going to ask for the noes. I heard one aye. I will also be voting aye. Any opposed?
Commissioner Gidora will be voting no.
Okay. The motion, the vote on it was 2-2, noting the dissent of Commissioner Coleman, Commissioner Gidora. So the motion fails for lack of a majority.
Madam Chairman and Commissioners, that concludes all agenda items to be considered today.
Thank you very much. Before we close out, there are two matters that I would like to put on the record. First, I would like, as we continue our, as we continued our consideration in terms of the moratorium, which will be ending at the end of this month, I wanted to put some comments on the record. I would just like to take a few moments this morning to speak directly to those customers and small business owners across Pennsylvania who may be concerned about utility affordability or who may be struggling with unpaid bills and past due balances. We believe it is essential that you reach out to your public utilities to review assistance programs and payment plan options that are available to help prevent possible utility termination this spring. There is a wide range of programs and services available to consumers, and your utilities understand the assistance programs available in your communities. Utilities can enroll eligible consumers in utility-run assistance programs, guide people toward other available resources, and discuss new payment plan options to address overdue balances and help consumers move forward. Millions of dollars in financial assistance is currently available, including the Utility Run Customer Assistance Program, or CAP, for income-qualified consumers, the national programs like the Low-Income Home Energy Assistance Program, known as LIHEAP, federal and state COVID recovery programs, and various hardship funds operated by utilities and nonprofit organizations. But utilities need the details about your situation to help determine the best solution for you, the consumer. And that begins with a phone call to customer service hotline, programs that are printed in your monthly utility bill. That direct conversation between customer and utility is the best first step for any Pennsylvania household or business to keep your utilities on, whether your financial difficulties are related to the COVID pandemic or other circumstances. Also, be sure to call all your utilities. That includes electric, natural gas, water, wastewater, and telecommunications, because each may have different programs or resources available. There are households and small businesses across the state that have never faced these kinds of financial difficulties, and asking for help can be challenging, but it is important to address past due utility bills before any possible terminations. So calling your utilities now is the best way to identify what help may be available to you, your family, and your business. Also, before we close out today, we always like to make sure that we recognize any retirements within the commission. As I always start out with, we are a family, so it's hard when one of our family members decides to retire from the commission, but we are always grateful and want to recognize them for all their hard work. So today, we recognize Lois Burns, who is known by many for her extensive work on telecommunications and cybersecurity matters. She has been one of our go-to experts for her knowledge and her insight. She is well-regarded in the larger public utility community and also regionally and nationally. Lois most recently was assigned to the Executive Director's Office of the PUC, where she has been providing expertise on special projects and completing projects for the Law Bureau. Before that position, she served as legal counsel on utility and administrative matters for the PUC Vice Chair and Commissioner Andrew Place. Throughout her tenure at the Commission, she also served as legal counsel and telecommunications advisor to PUC Commissioners Pamela Whitmer, Tyrone Christie, Kim Pitson-Grilly, and Nora Mead Brunel. Lois handled highly complex telecommunications matters addressing rates, service quality, transfers of control, legal, and consumer issues affecting all Pennsylvania certificated telecommunications companies. She also assisted in the development and analysis of cybersecurity issues related to all public utility sectors, and in the development of the Commission's strategic plan to implement cybersecurity initiatives in a coordinated and progressive manner. Lois also served as assistant counsel in the Law Bureau in the early 2000s. Prior to working at the Commission, she served as legal counsel for the House Consumer Affairs Committee, where she advised the Democratic chairman and caucus on all consumer-related issues, including public utility matters. In fact, this is where I first met Lois. In addition, she was employed at the Office of Consumer Advocate, where she litigated public utility cases. She received her law degree from Columbus School of Law at Catholic University of America with a certificate from the Communications Law Institute. She is a member of the Public Utility Law Section of the Pennsylvania Bar Association and a past member of the Federal Communications Bar Association. While her institutional knowledge will surely be missed, so too will her friendly demeanor and attitude. We owe her our thanks for devoting a significant portion of her career to our commission and to the citizens of Pennsylvania, and we want to wish Lois good health and good luck with everything she does in the future. That is all that we have for today's public meeting. I want to thank everyone for joining us for the PUC's public meeting. Our motion statements and audio will be available on the Commission's COVID-19 webpage later today. And if there's nothing else to come before us, I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
Sweet, so moved.
Is there a second?
Coleman, second.
Motion by Vice Chairman Sweet and second by Commissioner Coleman. All those in favor in adjourning, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passed 4-0. We are adjourned. Thank you very much, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.